It's empty. I glanced behind me at the door of the supposedly vacant apartment, but I heard noises just a little while ago. He turned around, eyeing the door behind me.
What kinds of noises?
Headboards banging the walls, cries, screams, pants, people going at it. I shrugged, deciding to be vague. Just noises. He exhaled a sigh through his nose, sounding annoyed. Walking around me, he made for the other apartment and jiggled the door handle, knocking several times when it didn't work. The door opened, and I widened my eyes in surprise, but then the same security guard from downstairs emerged.
Nothing here, sir. I checked the stairwell, and there's no sign of a disturbance. Thank you,
Michael offered.
Make sure the apartment is locked, and head back downstairs. Yes, sir.
I watched the guard lock the front door and then wait at the elevator as Michael walked back over to me, keys out and his hazel eyes looking even more impatient. He brushed past me and unlocked my front door. How did you know I locked myself out? I followed him into the apartment.
I didn't. He slid the keys into his pants pocket. But I figured it was a safe bet. You didn't have keys on you, and the rear apartment entrances leading to the stairwell always auto-lock. Remember that.
I rolled my eyes, watching him charge through my apartment. 3 years ago. Hell, 5 days ago? I would have loved to have him in my space. Talking to me, watching out for me. But that's not what he was doing now. I was still as invisible to him as the air he breathed. And far less important. One night. It still lived in my memory, vivid and wild, and I wished he'd remember it. But it had turned to shit anyway, just like the way he treated me. Crossing my arms over my chest and steeling myself, I stared off, just waiting for him to leave. He checked the rooms, the rear entrance, and came back out, pushing on the glass doors to make sure they were secure.
It's not unusual for the staff to take breaks in one of the empty apartments, he explained in a flat tone. In any event, it's quiet now.
I nodded, forcing a defiant look. Like I said, I don't need help. I heard him breathe out a quiet laugh, and I looked up, seeing a condescending smile in his eyes.
You don't, huh? He replied, sounding snide. You got everything covered. You're in control.
I lifted my chin slightly, not answering him. He strode back over, eyeing me with arrogant amusement.
It's a nice apartment, he commented, gazing around him. You must have worked hard to earn the money to pay for it, as well as the bills to those credit cards in your wallet, and that nice new car you just got.
I ground my teeth together, a flood of emotions I wasn't sure what to do with hitting me. I hated what he was saying. It wasn't that simple, and it wasn't fair. He stepped up to me, narrowing his eyes.
You ran away from my brother, my family, your mother, and even your own friends, he pointed out. But what if one day you found that all of those securities you took for granted, your house, your money, and the people who love you, weren't there anymore? Would you need help then? Would you finally realize how very brittle you are without those comforts you seem to think you don't need?
I stared up at him, hardening every muscle so I wouldn't give myself away. Yeah, sure, I enjoyed the money, and maybe if I were really serious about being on my own, I'd have chucked it all. The credit cards, the car, and the tuition money. So was I what he implied? A coward who talked a good talk but would never really know pain or the struggle of having to fight for anything?
No, I think you'd be fine, he said in a low, sultry voice as he took a lock of my hair, grinding it between his fingers. Pretty girls always have something to trade in, right?
I shot my eyes up, locking gazes with him as I knocked his hand away. What the fuck was the matter with him? The corner of his mouth tilted in a smile, and he walked around me toward the door.
Night, little monster.
And I whipped around, just seeing him slip through the door and close it behind him. Little monster? Why had he called me that? I hadn't heard that name in 3 years. Not since that night.
Chapter 4 Michael Present Don't be alone with her. My one rule, the one thing I'd kept to myself and promised to heed, and now I'd broken it. I breathed hard, my arms folded across my chest, as I glared ahead at the rising numbers on the elevator wall. No one else knew her. Not the way I did. I knew better. I knew how good she was. Erica Fane played her parts well. The dutiful, self-sacrificing daughter for her mother, the pleasant, agreeable girlfriend for my brother, and a shining student and beauty in our seaside community growing up. Everyone loved her. She thought she was nothing to me, insignificant and invisible. She wanted me to open my eyes and see her again so fucking badly, but she didn't realize that I already did. I knew the deceiving cunt that stewed underneath that perfect little sheen of hers. And I couldn't forget. Why the fuck did I take her to her apartment? Why did I have to make sure she was safe? Being near her made me falter. It made me forget. She'd burst through the stairwell doors, frightened and flushed, looking small and fragile, and instinct immediately kicked in. Yeah, she played her parts well. Don't be alone with her. Don't ever be alone with her. The elevator doors opened, and I stepped directly into my foyer, rounding the corner into my darkened living room. But then I slowed, noticing the girl I had sent up, and nearly forgotten about. She sat in the middle of the floor, straddling a wooden chair, completely naked. I held back a smile, surprised at her ingenuity. Most women waited for direction. I narrowed my eyes, approaching the chair as her lips quirked in a small smile. Her forearms rested on the top of the chair back, while her legs were spread wide and her high-heeled feet were planted on the floor on either side of the chair. Stopping a foot in front of her, I let my eyes fall to her exposed body, supple, open, and ready for me. Her breasts were perfect and round, and I gazed down at her tan stomach, letting my eyes drop to her bare pussy and wondering if she was already wet. I reached up, running the back of my hand over her cheek, and she leaned into it, eyeing me playfully as her long, silky hair draped over her breasts. And then she darted out, catching my thumb between her teeth and biting it gently. I stared down at her, waiting to see what she would do next. Suck on it? Lick it? Maybe bite it harder? I liked it when I got as good as I gave. When a woman showed the fire in her, instead of sitting idle. But then she just let it go, offering me a shy look and leaving the ball in my court. It was my job to attack, and hers to be the willing piece of meat, I guess. God, I was so fucking bored. I tipped her chin up, ordering in a gentle voice. Stay here. I needed a breather to get in the mood for what I no longer wanted. I walked past her, up the stairs, slipping off my jacket as I climbed. Entering my bedroom, a large space with a king-size bed and plenty of room to relax, I walked for the shower, which sat between the bedroom and the master bathroom. It was out in the open and completely visible from the bed. Sometimes it came in handy when I had a girl or two over and wanted to watch them play. I stripped out of my clothes, tossing them on the ground and stepping into the shower, in no hurry to return downstairs. The rainfall overhead poured down, immediately drenching my hair and spilling its heat over my shoulders and back. I wish I could say it was all the hours logged in at the gym, the personal trainer making sure I was ready for the season, or the constant practices we'd been attending since they increased our workout schedule that caused the tension in my head and body. But I knew that wasn't it. I was 23, in the best shape of my life, and contending with demands I'd lived with for nearly my entire life. It wasn't basketball. It was her. After 3 long years, she was here. They were here. And I could hardly think of anything else. I wondered if she'd still want me when all was said and done. After all the years of watching me, probably wishing I'd touch her, wouldn't it be fucking ironic when I finally did take her in my hands and pressed my body into hers that she despised me? Yeah, you're going to be in my bed, baby, but not until you wish you hated me. I let out a breath, bowing my head and closing my eyes. Jesus. I wrapped my hand around my cock, feeling it throb and pulse as it grew thick and hard at the thought of her. I ran my thumb over the fat tip, wiping away the cum that was only a small measure of what was begging to get out. God damn. All it took was the thought of her, and how I'd almost given myself away in the elevator with her earlier. She'd been amusing. The way she tried so hard to not look like she was losing her fucking mind with me around. How her shallow breathing made her tits rise and fall, and how those nipples poked through that tight little tank top of hers, making me want to take one between my teeth and teach her how to scream my name so well she'd say it in her sleep. That golden skin, tan from her summer in Thunder Bay, looked like a feast, and that hair, blonde and straight and brushing across her face and neck as it spilled down her back. It looked so soft, I couldn't resist touching the bright strands. I'd done very well at ignoring her during my life. At first because she was too young for me to care, and then because I needed to be patient. Now the timing was perfect. She was here, and so was I. Only I wasn't alone. And the best part? She didn't know that we knew. She didn't know that we were coming for her. Turning off the water, I breathed in and out. My cock aching and damn near sticking straight out, needing release. I wrapped a towel around my waist and combed my fingers through my hair, walking out of the bedroom and down the stairs. Alex, the young woman I'd taken to the team party tonight, still sat dutifully in the chair, her heart-shaped ass somewhat more appealing now that I was rock hard. But I still wasn't quite ready. Pouring myself a drink, I walked to the windows overlooking the city. The lights and the energy lit up the night, making it look like a sea of stars floating ahead of me, and it was one of the first things I learned when I'd visited this place as a kid. Meridian City was certainly more inspiring from a distance. Most things were, I'd come to realize. The closer you got to anything beautiful, the less beautiful it became. Allure was in the mystery, not the appearance. Letting my gaze fall, I spotted Rika through her windows. Her apartment sat on the level below, but not directly beneath mine, so my windows offered an excellent view into the courtyard, as well as into her apartment. I narrowed my eyes, watching her flit about and wondering what she was doing. She had splayed out a drop cloth below a wall, and there were cans of paint sitting on the living room floor. She stepped up on a ladder and arched up on her tiptoes, reaching for where the wall met the ceiling, smoothing something over with her hands. She must have been putting up painter's tape. It was nearly 2 in the morning. Why was she painting? Her nice little ass jutted out, and the black lace trim around the bottom of her tank top rode up, revealing the skin of her stomach. heat spread over my chest and down to my groin, my heart beating harder. Rika had a hell of a body, even though she didn't have a clue how to use it. Soft, cool hands ran over my shoulders as the girl came up behind me, standing naked at my side. The privacy glass wasn't on, but neither were the lights, so Rika wouldn't be able to see anything up here if she looked. Alex gazed out the window, probably seeing what I was looking at, and then turned back to me, slipping her hand under my towel. "Mmm," she moaned, feeling how hard I was.
"You like her."
I stayed still, watching Rika as the girl stroked me. "No." One time I thought I might. For a few hours, long ago, we looked through the same eyes, and I felt like I could trust her. It had been a mistake that cost my friends their freedom.
"But you want her,"
she pushed, rubbing me faster and knowing exactly where my hard-on came from. I let her handle me, but unfortunately, I had no desire to reach out and touch her. I stared down, seeing Rika step off the ladder and drop to her hands and knees, running tape along the crown molding as she arched her back, taunting me. I grunted, feeling the girl's strokes get faster.
"Yeah," she taunted. "So sweet and innocent, isn't she?"
I swallowed through the dryness in my mouth and glared down at Rika. "She's neither," I gritted out under my breath.
"Maybe not," the girl teased. "The shy ones tend to be the baddest after all."
And then she leaned in, burying her lips in my neck and whispering,
"I'll bet your brother can tell you what a bad girl she is."
Jesus. I planted my hand against the window, leaning in as Rika sat back on her knees and looked up at the wall that she appeared to be getting ready to paint. I hoped that wasn't true. I only wanted two things: that my brother hadn't broken her in as well as he bragged, and that Rika had as much fight in her as I hoped.
"Yeah,"
the girl breathed, kissing a trail down my jaw.
"I'll bet he knows exactly how she likes it."
I instantly straightened, turning my head and placing a hand under her jaw, holding it tight. "My brother is the last person that knows anything about her," I bit out, glaring down at her. "Now go home. I'm not in the mood." I pushed her away, and a shocked breath escaped her as she pinched her eyebrows together, looking confused.
"But you're—"
she protested, gesturing to my cock tenting the black towel. "That's not for you, and you know it." Facing the window again, I tightened the towel around my waist and watched Rika pull her hair up in a ponytail and then bend over to pick up a can of paint. But then I heard the ding of the elevator behind me, signaling that it was descending to pick up whoever had called it, and I quickly glanced over my shoulder to see the girl still standing there naked. "You'd better hurry," I warned. "I've got company coming up, and they'd love nothing more than to find you like that." I let my eyes fall down, indicating her naked form. Her eyes shifted side to side, hesitating and looking displeased. I didn't know if she was really disappointed or just offended. I really didn't care. I'd already paid her, after all. She finally turned, hurrying for wherever she'd dropped her clothes, and I heard rustling as she got dressed. Looking back down, I saw Rika pour paint into a tray and then dip in a roller, soaking it in red. My favorite color. It was brave and confident but also aggressive and violent. Not sure why I favored it, but I always had. The elevator bell dinged again, and I stood up straight, steeling my back as I heard deep voices enter the penthouse. Turning around, I saw the girl, Alex, slip on her last shoe and grab her clutch purse before hustling in the direction of the elevators. But regardless of whether or not she was dressed, she wouldn't go unnoticed. Damon, Will, and Kai emerged from around the corner, dressed in similar black suits, having just been out themselves, smiling over a shared joke. Alex stepped quickly, trying to scurry past, but Damon caught her, wrapping his arms around her waist. "Whoa, where do you think you're going?" he teased, tightening his hold against her fake struggles. "Did Michael use his full hour already?" Will laughed, shaking his head, as he and Kai kept walking, making their way into the apartment. Damon walked her backward, into the living room again, one of his hands squeezing her ass. I leaned over to the chair, picking up the lounge pants I'd thrown there this morning. Slipping my legs in, I pulled them up and then whipped off the towel, tossing it on the floor. "Just leave her alone," I told him. But his dark eyes, nearly black, drifted up to me, a challenge lurking there that I was getting fucking tired of seeing. His lips curled in a smile as he reached into his pocket, taking out a roll of bills. "I'll be gentle," he whispered against her cheek, holding up the money. She turned her head, eyeing me, probably wondering what the protocol was. Was she supposed to indulge an opportunity while another was still in the room? I didn't care what she did. She was available, and when it came right down to it, it was her business, not her pleasure. I'd simply needed someone on my arm tonight for a private party, and Will knew her well enough to know she was discreet and hassle-free. I was just sick of Damon's antics. But she turned back to him and slowly took the money. And he didn't hesitate. Yanking the top of her dress down to her waist, he picked her up and guided her legs around his waist. "I lied," he said, baring his teeth next to her ear. "I'm never gentle." He dived for her, covering her mouth with his as he carried her down the hall, disappearing into a spare bedroom. I exhaled a hard breath through my nose, aggravated with the constant tug of war with him. It never used to be like that. My friends and I all butted heads over the course of our friendship. Of course. We had our own temperaments, vices, and senses of right and wrong. But those differences strengthened us back then. As individuals, we had weaknesses, but as the horsemen, we were invincible. We each brought something different to the table, and where one lacked, the others stepped in. We were a unit, on and off the court. I wasn't so sure that was true anymore. Things had changed. Kai sat down on the couch while Will walked for the refrigerator, grabbing a sandwich off the plate of leftovers and a bottle of water. I twisted around and grabbed the game ball I'd been awarded after we'd won the state championships in high school and shot it over at Will, slamming him in the upper arm. He jerked, dropping the bottle of water and glaring at me with a mouthful of sandwich. "Ow!" he barked, holding out his hands. "What's your problem?" "Were you in 2104? I shot out, already knowing the answer. There was a reason we'd moved Rika to the 21st floor. It isolated her from neighbors. But I was also well aware that my friends probably wouldn't let the vacant apartment next door to her, or the opportunity to fuck with her, go to waste. They didn't live in the building, but they'd somehow gotten a key to the apartment. Will averted his eyes, but I caught the grin on his face. He swallowed his food and faced me, shrugging. "We may have brought a couple of girls back from the club," he admitted. You know, Damon, it got a little loud. I shot Kai a look, knowing he wasn't in on it, but pissed that he hadn't stopped them. I combed my fingers through my damp hair and pinned Will with a stare. Erica Fane may be young and inexperienced, but she's not stupid, I pointed out, looking between him and Kai. You're going to have fun with her, I promise. But not if you get her running before we have her where we want her. Will bent down to retrieve the basketball. At 6 feet tall, he was shorter than the rest of us, but his build was just as strong. Kai and I have been out for months, he charged, pressing the ball between his hands in front of his chest and looking at me as he approached. I agreed to wait so Damon could have his part in this, but I'm done fucking waiting, Michael. His patience was wearing thin, and I'd known that for some time. He and Kai had received lesser sentences based on the charges, but to be fair to Damon, we'd held back doing anything until he got out as well. Like that stunt last night? I threw back. Showing up at her house in masks? He laughed to himself, all too pleased. It was for old time's sake. Give us a break. But I shook my head. We've been patient this long. No, he retorted. We've been patient. You've been in college. I stepped up to him, a good 4 inches taller, and grabbed the ball out of his hands. I kept my eyes on him as I shot it out to my side and let it roll off my fingers, seeing Kai catch it in one fluid movement. We wanted her in Meridian City, I told Will, and she's here. With no friends and no roommates. We wanted her in this building with all of us, and there she is. I tilted my head to the window behind me, gesturing. All that separates her from us is a door. She's a sitting duck, and she doesn't even know it. His green eyes narrowed on me, still listening. We know exactly what we're going to take from her before we take her, I reminded him. So don't fuck this up. Everything's going according to plan, but it won't if she feels she's in danger before it's time. He hooded his eyes and looked away, still pissed, but obviously letting it go. Taking a deep breath, he slid off his black jacket, tossed it on the sofa, and left the room, heading down the stairs into the private basketball court off the living area. Within seconds, I heard the echo of a basketball pounding against the hardwood court. Kai rose from the sofa and walked for the windows, crossing his arms over his chest and staring silently outside. I stepped up next to him. Planting my hand on the windows, I followed his gaze, watching Rika run the roller up and down, her once white wall now turning blood red. She's alone, I spoke low. Completely alone now. And soon she'll have nothing to eat but our goodwill. I shifted my eyes to Kai, seeing his narrowed ones studying her. His jaw flexed, and at times he could be more formidable than Damon. At least Damon was an open book. But with Kai and his stern dark eyes and hardened expression, it was always a guess what he was thinking. He rarely spoke about himself. Are you having second thoughts? I asked. Are you? I continued staring out the window, ignoring the question. Whether or not I wanted this or liked any of it, it was never a question. 3 years ago, curious little Erica Fane wanted to play with the boys, so we indulged her, and she betrayed us. There was no way we'd forget. Once restitution was paid, my friends could have peace. Kai kept his eyes on her as he spoke. Damon and Will are blind action, Michael. Over 3 years, that hasn't changed. They act and react from the gut. But for two men that once believed money and power could get them out of anything, they now know that's not true. He turned his head, locking eyes with me. There were no games in there. No real friends. No hesitation. Act and commit. That's what they learned. I turned my gaze back out the windows. In there. That was as much as Kai had talked about prison since he'd gotten out. I hadn't asked either. Maybe I knew he'd talk when he was ready. Or maybe I felt guilty, knowing that it was all my fault. I'd brought her with us that night, after all. I'd trusted her. This was on me. Or maybe, just maybe, it was because I never wanted to know what the last 3 years had been like for my friends. What they'd lost. How they'd waited. How they'd changed. I shook my head, trying to brush off his warning. They were always like that, I argued. But they were always controllable, he challenged. They were appeasable. Now they don't have limits, and the only thing they truly understand is that they are the only person they can trust. So what was he saying? That they might have their own agendas? I let my eyes fall to her, working vigorously as she rolled on the red paint. And something coiled inside of me, twisting and tightening until my chest ached. What would I do if they jumped ship, took their own course of action? I didn't like that idea. But for 3 years, I'd been forced to look at her in my house, hear about her, and bide my time when all I wanted was to be her nightmare. She was here, and we were ready. We can't stop, I nearly whispered. We could control Will and Damon. We always had. I don't want to stop, he retorted, his dark eyes pinned on her. She deserves everything that's coming to her. But I am saying that things never go according to plan. Remember that. I picked up the glass of bourbon I'd set down and tossed it back, swallowing the remainder of the liquid in one gulp. The burn sat at the back of my tongue, my throat tightening as I set the glass down. I'd remember it, but I wasn't going to worry about it. It was finally time to have some fun. Why is she painting at 2 a.m.? He asked, as if just finally realizing what she was doing. I just shook my head, looking down at her and having no idea. Maybe she couldn't sleep after Damon and Will's escapade next door. Kai exhaled, gazing down at her, with a slight smile curling his lips. She grew up nice, didn't she? His voice turned soft, but kept its threatening edge. Beautiful skin, hypnotic eyes and lips, tight body. Yeah. Rika's Dutch South African mother married her way into money and power, using a face and body that was still only half as beautiful as her daughter's. Rika may have inherited her mother's blonde hair and blue eyes, her full lips and mesmerizing smile, but the rest was all Rika. The sun-kissed, glowing skin, the strong, toned legs from years of fencing, and the way she looked so alluring and sweet, but with a hint of mischief in her eyes. Like a baby vampire.
Yo! Will bellowed from below. What the fuck are you guys doing? Let's play!
Kai smiled, dropping his arms and turning for the court. But I hesitated, still thinking about his warning. He was right. Damon and Will leered, waiting to dive in for the kill. But what about Kai? How far would he go with her? We had rules, a way that this was supposed to work. We weren't going to hurt her. We were going to ruin her. I knew Damon and Will would try to break those rules, but what about Kai? Would he step in and reel them back in as he'd always done? Or would he follow this time? What about you? I finally asked, making him stop. Did prison change you? He turned, looking at me with eerie calmness. I guess we'll see.
Chapter 5. Erica. 3 years ago. The car turned, and I rocked back and forth on the floor of the G-Class, the drive turning from smooth to bumpy. The ground underneath the tires suddenly sounded like a grinder, and I knew that we'd hit gravel. Car stereos blasted outside, and I heard honking, telling me that the whole parade was in tow. We stopped, and before I knew what was happening, doors opened, the engine died, and howls filled the air as all the passengers joined each other outside. I stayed put, resisting the urge to peek out the windows and hoping Michael didn't need to open the back door to get anything. Within a few minutes, though, the chatter and laughter began to fade, and then it disappeared altogether. I slowly pushed myself up, keeping my head low as I peered out the window. Scanning the area, tall trees dotted the clearing where everyone had parked. Cars, trucks, and SUVs cluttered the space, and I narrowed my eyes, noticing we were in the forest. Why the hell were we out here? But then I turned around and immediately spotted a massive stone structure ahead of me. I tilted my head back, following the spires of the old abandoned church peeking out through the bare autumn tree branches as it sat broken, dead, and silent in the woods. St. Killian's. I'd never been here, but I knew it from the pictures I'd seen in the newspaper over the years. It was an old landmark, dating back to the 1700s, when Thunder Bay was first settled. In 1938, however, it suffered structural damage due to a hurricane, and it closed, never reopening. Everyone must have gone inside. I ventured one more glance around the area, making sure no one was around, and quickly climbed over the back seat, opening one of the back doors and hopping out. The brisk October air hit my legs, and I felt the brittle fallen leaves brush against my bare ankles. I was in my school skirt and flats, my legs completely bare, and chills broke out all over my body. I jogged across the clearing, seeing the massive wooden doors of the cathedral boarded shut, and rounded the corner, heading to the side. The grass was overgrown with weeds, and stones from the foundation were dislodged and broken, lying along the cathedral walls. Music poured out of the broken stained glass windows, and I reached up, grabbing the bottom of the windowsill, and stepping up on one of the 3-foot-high arches carved into the bottom of the church wall. Pulling myself up, I peered into the church and let out a small smile. Damn. Speakers were set up around the room, blasting music, while two guys, one of them Kai, shirtless and without his mask, battled bare-fisted in the center of the wide open floor, surrounded by male and female students, cheering him and the other guy on. Judging by the relaxed crowd and the grin on Kai's face as he jabbed at his opponent, I guessed it wasn't a fight. More like sport. While the music blared and small groups of students wandered about, talking, laughing, and drinking from their beer bottles, I saw a few people disappearing behind the sanctuary and down some stairs. Did old buildings like this have basements? Or, no, I thought to myself, St. Killian's had catacombs. I'd heard about that. Shifting my eyes up, I noticed the vast space above, the balcony section of the old church forming a semicircle that looked down over where the altar would have once sat. Most of the hardwood pews had been torn out and sat in piles around the room, while the old cast-iron chandelier, reminiscent of medieval times with its candle holders and ornate design, still hung above the unholy debauchery of fighting and drinking going on below. I spotted Miles Anderson making out with his girlfriend on a pew, and I immediately dipped my head down. I didn't like him or her, and I didn't want them to see me.
You're not supposed to be here.
I widened my eyes, my stomach instantly nodding as I turned my head to the right. Michael stood a few feet away, his chin tipped up, staring at me through his mask. Gripping the sill, I felt my heart pick up pace. I started to speak, but felt too stupid to say anything. I knew I shouldn't have come. I wanted to see. He cocked his head, but I had no idea what he was thinking. I wished he'd take off that damn mask. I held my breath, watching as he climbed up behind me, gripping the windowsill at my sides and planting his black boots on the two arches to my left and right. What was he doing? The heat of his body covered my back, and I braved a glance up, watching him gaze through the broken cathedral window, seeing what I saw. Swallowing the lump in my throat, I finally spoke up. If you want me to leave...
Did I say that?
I snapped my mouth shut, watching his fingers tighten around the bottle of Kirin in his hand. Michael had big hands, like most basketball players, but they were nothing compared to his height. He was nearly a foot taller than me, and I hoped he was done growing. I already had to look up at him. I closed my eyes for a moment, desperate to just lean back and relax into him, but I held back. Instead, I dug my nails into the stone, forcing my eyes forward and watching Kai take the other guy to the ground, both of them wrestling like an MMA fight on the concrete floor. Michael brought the beer up to his lips, and he must have lifted his mask because I heard him take a drink. But then my eyebrows shot up, seeing the bottle appear in front of my chest. Befuddled, I hesitated only a moment before I took it, keeping my smile to myself as I tipped it up and drank. I held it between my lips, letting the bitter taste sit on my tongue, and then swallowing. When I tried handing back the bottle, he waved me off. I relaxed, taking a few more sips, content that he wasn't kicking me out. Yet. That door leads to the catacombs, right? I asked, gesturing to the students inside that were heading through the darkened doorway behind the sanctuary. I held the bottle to my chest, turning my head up to Michael. He nodded. I turned back, watching the two guys and girls disappear. What are they doing down there?
Having other kinds of fun.
I tightened my jaw, frustrated with his brief, cryptic response. I wanted to go inside. But then I heard him breathe out a small, quiet laugh and felt his mask brush against my ear, his low voice whispering in my ear.
No one knows about you, do they?
I pinched my eyebrows together, wondering what he meant. He took the bottle out of my hands and set it down on the sill.
You're such a good little girl, aren't you, Rika? Good girl for mommy. Good girl for teachers.
He trailed off before continuing,
You're a good girl on the outside, but no one knows who the hell you are on the inside, do they?
I clenched my teeth, staring ahead at nothing. His hot breath fell on my neck as he spoke.
I know what you want to watch, Rika, he gritted out. I know you like to watch me. Schoolgirls shouldn't be so naughty.
My eyes rounded, and I sucked in a breath, pushing out from between his arms and jumping to the ground. Embarrassment warmed my face as I dashed for the parking lot, but a hand suddenly caught mine, and I was pulled back in the opposite direction. Michael, I gasped, my throat thick with fear. Let me go. He stepped closer.
How do you know I'm Michael?
I blinked, dropping my head, unable to look at him. My eyes fell on his hand holding mine. My skin burned so hot, I wasn't sure if I was on fire or freezing. I swallowed the tightness in my throat. It feels like you. But he leaned in, making my violent heart pound even harder, and whispered,
You don't know what I feel like.
Then he reached up and grabbed my school necktie, yanking my body in as he pulled the tie roughly, loosening it, and slipping it over my head. "What are you doing?" I breathed out. But he didn't answer. I narrowed my eyes, watching him as he pulled the tie apart and walked around behind me, holding it over my eyes. But I pushed it down, turning to look at him. "Why? Why did I need a blindfold?"
"Because you'll see more with your eyes closed," he answered.
And I stood still as he fastened my tie around my eyes, his fingers touching my hair. He let go of the tie, but I still felt his chest at my back, and I swayed an inch, feeling my equilibrium shift. I almost wanted to smile, feeling the butterflies in my stomach. "Michael," I said softly. But he remained silent. I breathed faster, feeling overwhelmed with the sensations. The scent of the hemlocks and red maples, mixed with the cool sea air and dying leaves, rushed me along with the light breeze that chilled my cheeks. My nipples hardened, and every hair on the back of my neck stood up. What was he doing? "Michael," I said more quietly. I was starting to feel dumb. But he still didn't say anything. My heart started pounding, and I clutched the hem of my skirt, fighting the heat between my thighs. I swallowed, slowly turning around and holding up my hands, finding his chest and placing my palms on him. "You can't scare me," I told him. I felt his hands take mine and pull them off his chest.
"I already do."
And he walked around me, pulling me after him. I jogged a few steps, coming up to his side and holding on to his arm, trying not to stumble as we waded through the weeds, rocks, and uneven ground. I tightened my fingers around his hand, the coarse skin of his palms feeling so good. What would his hands feel like on the rest of me?
"There's stairs," he warned, cutting off my thoughts.
I slowed, stepping up and finding my footing.
"Come on,"
he urged, leading me up. After several steps, the sunlight coming through the blindfold faded, and I knew we were inside. The dank smell of rain and rot from years of neglect surrounded me, and I turned my head, trying to locate the echoes of voices all around. I followed Michael, walking slowly as I figured the floors were filled with debris. Male shouts and cheers came at me from the left. I listened, hearing them laughing and cheering. Grunts and groans followed, and I gauged that the fight was still going on. I followed Michael, still holding on to him, but I raised my other hand, touching the blindfold. I didn't like not being able to see, not knowing whether or not someone was coming at me. I felt like everyone was staring at me. "Why won't you let me see?" I asked, coming to a stop next to him.
"Would that be more exciting for you?"
I twisted my head to him, even though I couldn't see him. "Is having me blindfolded more exciting for you?" But then I turned my head forward again, stunned at how flippant I'd sounded. I'd always been nervous around Michael, and I was shocked, and maybe a little proud, that it had come out so easily. I heard a couple of quick breaths come out of him, and I thought that he had laughed, although I couldn't tell for sure.
"I want you to do something for me."
He let go of my hand, and I felt him brush against my shoulder as he came to stand behind me.
"I want you to keep the blindfold on, and don't take it off. I'll be back."
"Be back? What?" I pinched my eyebrows together, feeling chills sweep up my legs and worry knotting my stomach. I felt him touch the middle of my back, and his breath fell across my temple.
"Show me what you're made of."
And then he pushed me. I gasped, stumbling forward, my flats grinding against the dirt and dust-ridden stone floor as my arms shot out, trying to keep me from falling as I breathed quickly. "Wha—" I choked out. "Michael?" I called, turning my head side to side. Where the hell was he? I reached up and grabbed the blindfold. Screw this. But then I stilled, his words playing back at me in my head. "Show me what you're made of." He was testing me, or playing with me. I inhaled a deep breath, steeling myself. I could wait a little longer. "You're okay. You can do this." I wasn't tapping out yet. The grunts and growls of the fight were only a few feet away, and I could hear people talking and laughing. I wasn't sure if it was because of me or the fight, but my face burned anyway, embarrassment making me want to hide. It felt like I had 1,000 eyes on me, watching my every move. My bottom lip trembled, and I held out my arms, my chest rising and falling a mile a minute as I tried to see if anyone was near me. I felt exposed, and I didn't like it. I took small steps, touching nothing but air as I felt my way. "Michael?" I called again, a small cry stretching my throat that I refused to let out.
"Oh, fuck!"
someone shouted, and I listened, gauging that it was coming from the fight. I heard scuffling and a punch landing, and then cheers rang out, echoing in the vast space above.
"Woo!"
a male voice shouted while others laughed. I heard a couple of girls giggle not far off, and I sucked in a breath, hearing footsteps near me.
"Not sure what they have planned for you, honey," a female voice teased, "but I'm jealous."
Another girl laughed, and I scowled under the blindfold, anger warming my skin. I straightened my back and touched the blindfold again, just wanting to peel it away. But I curled my fists around the fabric, resisting. If I took it off, he would win. Michael would have kept it on because he didn't care. Who's looking at me? Are they whispering about me? Are they laughing at me? Michael wouldn't care. I could do this. I dropped my hands and squared my shoulders, my pulse still throbbing in my neck. Nothing was wrong. I was embarrassed, insecure, and uncomfortable, but it was in my head. Until someone brushed my shoulder and I stilled, feeling a hand graze my ass.
I know you, the male voice said. Rika Fain, Trevor's girlfriend, right?
No, not right, I immediately thought. But then I froze, recognizing the menacing tone that always seemed to carry a double meaning, no matter what he said. Damon.
"What are you doing here without your man?" he taunted. "And who got you all trussed up like this?"
The skin on my arms hummed, and I wanted to rip the blindfold off. I didn't like him looking at me when I couldn't see. Damon wasn't safe. I swallowed the lump in my throat, holding my ground. Trevor's not my boyfriend.
Too bad. I like playing with shit that's not mine.
And then his finger grazed my bottom lip, and I twisted my head away. Stop! I demanded. But then he wrapped a hand around the back of my neck and pulled me in.
You sleep over at Christ's sometimes, huh?
He growled, low, his breath falling on my lips.
You've got your own room there.
I planted my hands on his chest, trying to push away, but he gripped my hip with the other hand, holding me in place.
Damon!
I heard a bark come from behind him.
Fuck off and leave her alone!
It wasn't Michael's voice. Damon sighed and challenged in a bored tone.
I take what I want when I want it, Kai. We're not in high school anymore.
I ground my teeth together, struggling against him, but he wrapped both arms around my waist like a steel band, and I felt his whisper above my ear.
How about I visit your room tonight, huh?
His hands dropped to my ass, and I squirmed, pushing against him, but he was too strong.
Will you open the door for me?
He whispered against my lips.
Will you open other things for me?
And then his hand dropped between us, sliding between my legs and rubbing me over my skirt. I let out a scream, but he cut me off, covering my mouth with his. I couldn't breathe as I squirmed and cried out, the sound muffled under his lips. Michael, where the fuck are you? I balled my fists against his chest and grabbed his bottom lip between my teeth, biting down hard until he released me and shot backward.
Fuck!
He yelled, and I drew in ragged breaths, holding out my hands because I didn't know where he was or if he was coming back at me. I felt a small breeze, sensing someone else coming up.
I said back off!
Kai yelled, sounding as if he was in front of me.
She bit me!
Damon raged.
Then you got less than you deserved, Kai shot back. Go downstairs and blow off some steam. It's going to be a long fucking night.
I reached up, grabbing the blindfold and wanting to see, but instead, I dropped my hands, curling my fists in anger.
You okay, Rika?
Kai asked. I heaved breath after breath, my body swaying as my head swam. I bit him. I suddenly wanted to laugh. My hands tingled, and I straightened, feeling a little stronger.
I wish I could say he was all bark and no bite, but...
Kai trailed off, letting the thought sit. Yeah, we both knew that wasn't true. I inhaled, his heady body wash with only a hint of sweat hitting me. I'm fine, I answered. Thanks. I pulled away and turned to my right, fed up with standing here like a target.
Where are you going?
To the catacombs, I replied.
You can.
I pursed my lips, twisting my head to face him. I'm not a kid. You got that?
Yeah, I got it.
His deep voice held a hint of humor.
But you're facing the wrong direction.
I sucked in a quick breath, feeling him take my shoulders and spin me further to the right. Oh, I mumbled, embarrassment heating my face. Okay, thanks.
No problem, kid,
he said, his voice thick with a laugh I could tell he was trying to hold back. I held out my hands just a bit, still refusing to let Michael win by taking off the mask as I took a hesitant step forward. But then I stopped and turned my head again. You knew my name, I stated, remembering that he'd called me Rika. In fact, Damon had said my name too.
Yeah.
Kai approached my back.
Why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't he? Why would he? I'd never spoken to these guys. It at least made sense that Michael knew of me, since I spent so much time at his house, but I was sure the others had never even noticed me.
You study fencing,
Kai started.
You're heir to a fortune in diamonds, and you've been on honor roll since birth.
I smiled to myself, finding his sarcasm a hell of a lot easier to deal with than Damon's hands.
And, he continued behind me, his voice lowering, you wore an amazing black bikini at the 4th of July cookout at the beach this past summer. I looked longer than I should have.
My cheeks instantly warmed. What did he just say? Kai Mori was as handsome as Michael, and as equally sought after by women. He could have anyone. Why would he even have given me a second glance? Not that I ever held out hope he would. He wasn't Michael, of course.
Michael shouldn't have let you come in here, Kai warned, and I don't think you should go down there.
I felt a smile pull at my lips. I know. That's the same thing everyone else would tell me. I turned around, adding under my breath, except Michael. I held my hands out a few inches in front of me, spreading out my fingers and stepping slowly forward, moving toward the dull hum of the music and howls coming from deep below. I shouldn't go down by myself. Kai had sent Damon down there, and even though I wasn't sure he would try anything again, I did know I wasn't safe with him. Michael had told me to wait. He'd take me down, but... But something inside of me hated being at anyone's mercy. I didn't want to follow, I didn't want to wait, and I didn't want to wonder. All of those things made me feel uncomfortable, like someone else was leading me around by the nose, and I didn't like being controlled. That's what I admired about the Four Horsemen. They were always in control and always visible. Why wait for Michael when I could do it myself? Cool wind blew across my bare legs, and I inhaled the smell of earth, water, and old wood drifting up through the door from the catacombs. I was close. But then someone grabbed one of my outstretched hands, and I sucked in a quick breath, planting both of my palms on his chest and clutching the soft cotton of his sweatshirt. Michael? I moved my hands up, noticing that his shoulders were nearly level with the top of my head. Have you been here the whole time? But he remained silent. I breathed in and out, trying to calm my heartbeat. The full length of his legs and torso was flush with nearly every inch of mine, and my skin warmed. I stepped back. Why did you do that? I asked.
If you've been here the whole time, why would you let Damon handle me like that?
Why didn't you just take off the blindfold and run away?
I straightened my back, steeling my spine. Was that what he wanted? For me to tap out and run away? Why was he testing me? It didn't matter. How could he just stand there, see what was going on, and not step in? Kai had put a stop to it, and I thought Michael... I dropped my head, afraid he could see my face heating. I guess I thought more of Michael than I should. I tipped my chin back up, trying to keep emotion out of my voice. You shouldn't have been okay with it.
Why? He retorted. Who are you to me?
I clenched my fist at my side.
Toughen up,
he bit out in a whisper as his breath fell across my cheeks.
You're not a victim, and I'm not your savior. You handled it. End of story.
What the hell was the matter with him? What did he want from me? I would have thought he'd show concern. Jesus. All of the men in my life, my father, Noah, Mr. Christ, and even Trevor, hovered over my life like I was a baby learning how to walk. I never cared so much for their concern and even found it stifling at times, but from Michael, I might have liked it. Even just once. He placed a finger under my chin, tipping my head up as his voice softened.
You did well. Did it feel good to fight back?
I caught the hint of amusement in his tone, and my stomach fluttered. Michael had been right. I wasn't a victim. And even though the thought of him showing up to save the day would have given me some kind of hint as to what he felt about me, if anything, the fact remained that I never wanted to be someone who couldn't fight their own battles. Hell yes, it felt good. I felt him move away, but his fingers slid between mine.
So you want to go downstairs?
He asked in a low voice. My lips quirked despite my agitation. I let him lead the way as we continued in the direction Kai set. Howls echoed from deep below, and my chest shook with anticipation. Any bit of light from the other side of the blindfold disappeared, and everything turned black as the air around me became cooler, thicker, and filled with the scent of earth and water, like a cave.
There are stairs, he warned.
I immediately slowed my step. Can I take off the blindfold then?
No.
I pushed down the anger boiling up and stuck out my other hand, finding the rough and bumpy rocks of the stone wall to my right. Michael slowed down, letting me cautiously feel my way down the stairs as we traveled in a spiral. The grains of dirt grinded under my flats, and chills spread up my thighs, reminding me that it was getting colder and darker, and that I was too unaware of my surroundings. I didn't know who was down here, what they were doing, and depending on how deep we traveled into the maze, I might not be able to find my way out, either. Michael had made it very clear that while he may have my hand right now, he didn't have my back. So why didn't any of that make me want to stop? I slid cautious steps down the stairs, traveling deeper and deeper, and feeling like the walls were getting closer to me. I inhaled a hard breath, the thin air under the earth weighing on my skin like a heavy blanket. Michael took another step, and I followed, coming up to his side where he'd stopped. Like a storm's Love the Way You Hate Me played all around me, and I gathered that all the tunnels were wired with speakers, the music probably filling every room. But then a cry rang out, and I jerked my head to the right, hearing the high-pitched moan traveling toward me. Hushed whispers seemed to spill out of the walls, groans and breaths floated around me, and I twisted my head to my other side, hearing bellows and cheers ring out from my left. I slid my foot forward along the ground, feeling dirt instead of stone now, and listening for any sound I could grasp. A woman's moans carried down the tunnel, vibrating off the walls, and I licked my lips, my chest rising and falling faster.
Other kinds of fun.
Michael's hand slid into mine again, making my skin tingle.
So how far you want to go? He asked, his voice thick and husky.
The girl cried out again, sounding high and euphoric, and laughter and groans followed. I rubbed my palm up and down my thigh, trying to distract from the heat building between my legs. God, what was happening to her? I pulled my hand out of Michael's. How far would I go? I held out my hands, stepped toward the noises, and shook my head, wondering instead if I'd ever stop. I knew from pictures that the catacombs were a small collection of tunnels and vaults or rooms underneath the church, and I wasn't waiting for an invitation from him or his permission. He'd brought me down here. He wanted to play with my head, but I wasn't playing anymore. I'd do it myself. And he seemed to finally realize that. He hooked the inside of my elbow and jerked me back. I let out a small gasp as I stumbled.
You stay with me down here, you understand?
I stood still and remained silent as I swallowed the lump in my throat. He'd suddenly become more protective than he had been upstairs. Why? He took my hand, pulling me gently along down the tunnel. My legs broke out in chills, but my neck and face heated up as the moaning and deep male voices got closer and louder. Michael made a turn, taking me with him as we rounded a corner, or a doorway, I couldn't be sure, and slowed our walk as the air suddenly changed, smelling of sweat, hunger, and men. My heart pumped in my chest so hard it hurt, and I couldn't slow my breathing. A young woman's moans and pleasure-filled panting filled the air, and I instantly touched my blindfold, the urge to take it off, strong. But I held back. I didn't want to give him an excuse to send me back upstairs. I dropped my hand and let Michael take me further into the room. At least I thought it was a room. He stopped, both of us facing the sounds, and my whole face warmed with embarrassment. I turned my head, my nose touching the sleeve of his sweatshirt.
Ah, Christ, a guy groaned. Fuck, she feels good. You like that, don't you, baby?
I heard her sexy, lustful laugh as she breathed hard, and my stomach flipped, hearing the sounds of approval and laughter around the room. From all the men. Oh, God. I opened my mouth in shock, speaking quietly to Michael. Are they hurting her? I asked, knowing he could see everything.
No.
I licked my lips, listening to the grunting and kissing, the gasping and growls. Was she the only girl in here? I faced the noises again. Are they? I trailed off, not sure how to ask what I wanted to know.
Are they what?
Michael's low voice taunted. I opened and closed my mouth, hating the amusement I caught in his tone. He was laughing at me. I cleared my throat. Are they? I inched out. Are they fucking? I rarely ever used that word, but it felt appropriate. The sound of skin hitting skin hard and fast filled the room, with the girl's moans matching the rhythm, and I gritted my teeth to stifle the groan in my own throat, feeling the heat grow between my thighs. Michael? I called when he didn't answer me. But he still said nothing. A white-hot heat fell on my left cheek, and I turned my head to face him. Are you staring at me? I whispered.
Yes.
My breathing got shallower, and I adjusted my hand in his, not sure if it was his sweat or mine I was feeling. Why? I asked. He hesitated a moment before answering.
You surprised me, he said quietly. Do you use the word fucking a lot?
My shoulders started to drop. Was I too crude? No, I admitted, looking away.
It sounds good on you, Rika.
He cut me off, putting me at ease.
Use it more often.
Excitement rushed under my skin, and I wasn't sure I would heed his request, but I smirked anyway. I didn't care if he saw it. The men in the room started to roar, and I wasn't sure what was happening, but they were getting more excited. They are, aren't they? I asked again. But I really didn't need Michael to confirm. If the panting and the dirty words weren't enough to give it away, I couldn't mistake the pleasure in her hot, sweet whimpers that picked up rhythm, going faster and louder as the heated vibes of the onlookers surrounded me. I could only picture what was happening to her. "Why are people watching them?" I asked.
"For the same reason you want to," he shot back. "It gets us excited."
I paused, thinking about that one. Did I want to watch? No. No, I didn't want to see her on display for anyone who cared to look. I didn't want to see all these guys and a few girls from the voices I heard watching her do something that should be private. And no, I didn't want to know who she was or the guy she was fucking, so I wouldn't have to think about what I'd seen every time I ran into them in the halls at school. But, "Fuck," she whispered, sounding so desperate and high. "Oh, God, harder." But maybe Michael was a little right. Maybe I wanted to see what she looked like and what she was feeling written all over her face. Maybe I did want to see the men watching her, because I wanted to know what turned them on, see the lust in their eyes, and feel a measure of it when I looked at them. And maybe I wanted to see Michael watching her, to see if there was need and hunger there, and how hot it would feel to be her and have his eyes on me like that. Did I want to be screwed in front of a room full of people? No, not ever. But I wanted to lose the blindfold and see some of what I had yet to experience, to live through her and imagine what she was feeling, and imagine that it was Michael's hands on me. The pulse in my clit started to throb, and I bit my bottom lip, trying to resist the urge to lean into him.
"Sex is an unnecessary need, Rika,"
Michael spoke low next to me.
"Do you know what that means?"
I shook my head, too weary to do anything more.
"We don't need sex to survive, but we need it to live," he explained. "It's a high, and one of the few things in life where all five senses are at their absolute peak."
I felt him brush my arm and knew he'd moved behind me, the warmth of his chest blanketing my back.
"They see her,"
he whispered in my ear, still not touching me.
"That beautiful body moving and panting underneath him as he fucks her."
I breathed harder, closing my fists around the hem of my skirt.
"They hear her moans," he went on, "and it's like music, because it shows that she's loving everything that's happening to her right now. He can smell her skin, feel her sweat, and taste her mouth."
He leaned into my back, pushing his chest into me, but I still couldn't feel his hands. I squeezed my eyes shut behind my blindfold. "Touch me."
"It's a feast for his body,"
Michael's sultry voice breathed out above my ear.
"And that's exactly why, next to money, sex is the one thing that drives the world, Rika. That's why they're watching. That's why you want to watch. Nothing compares to having someone own you like that, even if it's just for an hour."
I slowly twisted my head, speaking to him. "And what about love?" I challenged. "Isn't that better than sex?"
"Have you ever had sex?"
"Have you ever been in love?" I threw back. He remained silent, and I wondered if he was playing with my head again, or if he didn't want to tell me yes. I ignored the latter, choosing to believe the former. Please tell me he hadn't been in love with anyone, or worse, loved someone now. I felt him move back to my side, and chills spread over my body at the loss of his heat. "Isn't she afraid people will find out?" I asked quietly. "Like at school?"
"Do you think she should be?"
"Well, I would be. I may be inexperienced, but that didn't mean I was innocent. Things done in the dark hours of night, behind closed doors, or in the heat of the moment, looked a lot different in the morning, out in the open and with a clear head. Yeah, there were things we wanted, impulses we felt, but acting on those desires brought consequences we weren't always willing to accept either. And maybe they were consequences we shouldn't have to accept, but they existed nonetheless. The girl, whoever she was, was acting of her own rules, but she'd suffer according to everyone else's. Which sucked. Maybe that's what Michael wanted me to see. Down here in the dark, in an underground tomb with him, I got a taste of a different reality. One where the only things taboo were the rules, and to see all the things people dared to do in an environment where they had freedom. Reaching up, I slid my fingers under the necktie secured around my eyes, ready to slip it off, but he took my hand, pulling it away from my face. I turned my head, speaking to him at my side. I want to see.
No.
I exhaled a sigh and turned forward again, hearing the girl's panting getting faster and louder. You think I'm too young, I stated, turning my head to speak to him at my side, but I'm not.
Did I say that?
He snapped, his tone suddenly gone hard.
You keep putting words into my mouth.
Then why did you let me come down here? He paused and then answered in a flat tone,
Who am I to deny you anything?
I drew in a sharp breath, anger seeping into every muscle in my body. I'm sick of your vague responses, I bit out. Why did you let me come down here? What did he want with me? Why press that I could do what I wanted and handle myself, and then keep me restrained, still tethered on a leash? Did he even know what he was doing? Screw this. I didn't need his permission. I reached up and whipped off the blindfold. But instead of checking out the room and the display being put on like I'd originally wanted, I immediately spun around and came to stand directly in front of him, looking up. His hazel eyes, all that was visible behind his crimson mask that made my heart pump with fear, locked on mine, not blinking or reacting. Why did you bring me down here? I pressed again, searching his eyes for any sign of emotion. Did you think it would be funny? Get your kicks by seeing how far you could push me before I'd run away? But he just stood there. He didn't speak, move, and it didn't even look like he was breathing. He was a machine. I shook my head, an ache settling behind my eyes. After years of fucking waiting for him to look at me and finally see me, he'd given me something. Just one part of a single day. And now he'd taken it away as if I were a void standing in front of him. I was transparent and of no consequence. I didn't know what was going on in his head, and I finally realized I never would. I'll find my own way out, I told him, turning away and heading for the door before he could see my lips tremble. But then he caught the inside of my elbow and yanked me backward, and I gasped as my back crashed into his chest.
Don't go.
His voice shook. Tears pooled in my eyes, and he wrapped an arm around my waist, keeping me glued to his chest as he walked us to the right, rushing into another dark room, this one empty. My eyes darted around me, but I could barely see anything. The only light coming from the candles in the other room. Michael, stop, I breathed out. Everything was happening too fast. What the hell was he doing? He walked us across the room, and I dug in my heels to stop him from pushing me, but it was too late. I was pressed into the wall, my chest meeting the stone, and I immediately felt something hit my foot. I looked down to see his red mask lying on the ground as he hovered over my back. I opened my mouth to protest, but then I froze, feeling his arm tighten around my waist and his breath fall on my neck, over my scar. I stopped breathing, letting my eyes fall closed as my skin burned and my head swam with pleasure. His face and lips nestled into my skin as he held me caged between him and the wall, but he didn't move further. No kissing, no caressing, just holding as he breathed in and out against my skin.
You want to know why you're here?
He asked me, sounding strained in my ear.
You're here because you're like me, Rika. You're here because there are enough people who try to tell us what to do and try to keep us in a box.
He grazed his lips up my neck as he spoke.
They tell us that what we want is wrong, and that freedom is dirty. They see chaos, madness, and fucking as ugly. And the older you get, the smaller that box gets. You feel it closing in already,